it's me, Sean Capri. I'm glad you're here because you're listening to the most wholesome Nintendo podcast on the internet. It's the Nintendo Drive. I'm on a Skype call with my friend Seth Sturgill, the $2 hero, and on our journey today, we got to get that Nintendo Selects on the Nintendo Switch, so jump on into the Nintendo Drive. Seth Sturgill is back, bailing me out once again. My friend, how are you doing? The man with the beard. Everybody is loving the beard gracing us here at youtube.com/carpoolgaming. How are you, man?
Oh my gosh. Hey, buddy. I'm doing well this morning.
Yeah.
Hope everybody else out there is doing well.
Wow.
I bring the beard. I bring the beard, man. That's what I do.
I like it. I'm getting good vibes from you right now, actually. We're just kind of like, let's calm it down. You're balancing me out. You're balancing me out because I'm just coming in here screaming with a half drank iced coffee, all the sugar and cream.
Couldn't be more different. I have tea. I meditated this morning and yeah, I meditate every morning.
Good for
and,
you.
And like I'm like meditated. I'm all leveled out. I've got tea. You're over there with your iced coffee. So we'll bring a good balance. I feel like.
You must just like wake up and just go like, are you ready for the day? Like this isn't. I never hear any complaining from you. It's early, but you're like whatever. Like it's just nice and easy.
Take it as it comes.
Yeah. Wow, what's that like? Yeah. I'm all like, everything's amazing. And then 5 minutes later, everything's awful. What am I going to do?
I get overexcited about some things.
Oh my gosh, man. Yeah, no, I'm a mess. I don't recommend. hopefully it makes for a good stream, good podcast kind of thing.
Yeah. I think so.
You bring a nice level-headedness to it, man. But this is the Nintendo Drive, and I'm so thankful everybody's here watching us here at youtube.com/carpoolgaming. We're here every single week, and you can watch the video on demand afterwards as well, and we're on podcast services around the globe. If you'd like to support us, you can go to patreon.com/carpoolgaming and choose the tier that's right for you. And I want to thank Drew Agnew, by the way, for joining us last week. We had a wonderful kind of recap conversation, Seth, with the Nintendo Direct last week. That was very nice. What a handsome man.
It was super nice.
Yeah.
Wow. The handsomest man.
Seriously.
I get distracted whenever I podcast with Drew. I'm just like looking at him the whole time.
I know, it's enough. Like, could you put a bag over your head? Good God.
Holy moly.
Yeah, leave some for the rest of us, Drew. Holy crap. You can leave a review. Anyways, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That helps us out a huge amount. Kato usually does this, so I don't know how to intro the show. So why don't we pop our 8-track into the 8-track player? We're going to the playlist. Man, I suck at this. What's your playing lately,
player.
Man?
Holy cow,
8-track, man. We're going record player on this. We're going the playlist. What you been playing, man?
So I won't say too much about Xeno. I know there's a question about Xenoblade later, so I'll save that. But Xenoblade. I also just last night finally started playing Return to Monkey Island.
Oh yes, I saw that. Yes.
Oh, I'm so happy. So happy with that game.
It got great reviews too. At least I just looked at IGN, which is the one kind of other than, of course, what you have to say about this. But Ryan McCaffrey from IGN, he's an old timer like me. So he knows the history of this game. I have been watching it. Ryan Turford and I from the Xbox Drive, we've been watching it closely as well. Very much like looking forward to it, but wasn't sure how it would land. Lots of commentary, lots of like wonder about this new art style and stuff. It's a storied franchise. Tell me about this, man.
I love the new art style personally. Like I've always been kind of, I've always been willing to take on a new art style with Monkey Island. Like I'm an old school Monkey Island fan as well. Like one of my earliest just gaming memories, my Uncle Aaron had the original Monkey Island, introduced it to me literally on floppy disks, playing it that way. And I'm always going to be nostalgic and pine for those old days. But, you know, I at the same time, I look at this and I'm like, it's a good modernization, this weird, paper mache almost look that it has now. I don't know. I really dig it. And but it's also got just like all the classic stuff that you want out of Monkey Island. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, it's got fun, you know, puzzle solving. It's got a lot of like great references, and it feels like going home. Like you get onto Melee Island and you go into the scum bar, and like the guy with the loom, ask me about loom button, is still there.
Yes.
You know, and there's like a whole bit with that. And it's like, just, I don't know, it's really nice. And it has like actually kind of something to say about that too. It kind of has this like times they are a change in kind of plot to
it. I love that. Yeah. So for people who don't know, Monkey Island is this classic LucasArts point and click adventure, like a relic of the past, dude. Like, and that's the first thing that I was going to ask you about is, like, there's kind of like an ongoing joke with those old put and click adventure, like that you've got to get the turnip out of the ground and put it in a sock and then jam it into a keyhole somewhere. Like these puzzles that don't make any sense and seem kind of random. They seem to add time to playing the game. And that was the name of the game back in the day. Just keep you playing, but not in the same way. Not in like the, we hadn't discovered the dopamine hit. It was just a frustration back in the day. Back in my day, we used to walk up to games 5 miles in the snow uphill both ways. Like, it was harder. So, yeah, how does that style of game live in the now kind of thing? And will people be ready for it?
Yeah, I think so. This game does a couple of really cool quality of life things. So not only do you really early on, you get this like hint book, which is handled really well, because if you ever feel like you're stuck, there are a couple of like levels. I'm like, okay, I could use a hint, and it'll kind of give you a vague, you know, point you in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And then if you keep pushing it and you keep going, it'll just, you know, if you really wanted to, it'll just tell you what to do.
Right.
You know, but it gives that to the player. Like, it's up to you to decide if you want to push that far or not. There's also a to-do list kind of function that you can pull up. So You kind of know, like, even if I put the game down for a day or two, come back, I'm not lost. I can pull it up and be like, oh, right, that's what I was doing.
Nice.
So I like that a lot about it. It's great, man. I'm loving it. So I'm like 2 hours in.
I hovered over it last night, and I didn't end up pulling the trigger, but I figured somebody was going to end up playing it. I might wait for a sale, but like, I'm at the point now, dude, where there are so many games. The backlog is so intense that I am looking to maybe just wait. I don't need to buy games first day, but I've done this before. I've actually in the past, it was a long time ago, I purposefully held myself back a year. I'm like, I'm not buying a game unless it's a year old. And then I would buy it on sale, but it actually like compounded the issue where instead of just one game for $60, I would buy three for $20. So it's like, But at the time didn't enhance. Like, it was just, it was a bad situation. So I'm sad to tell everybody there's no way around this. It's going to be difficult. And then this game looks great, and it just hits me in all the feels. I downloaded the Harvestella demo and I started it up last night, and I fell asleep on the chair, dude. I had 3 hours of sleep Sunday night, got up Monday morning, did my 10K, feeling pretty good about it. And I could not, dude. I'm struggling on that front. So
I haven't played that yet. I downloaded it, but I haven't even booted it up. But I'm the same way. But you leave me in a quiet room for more than like 5 minutes,
and
I'm
pretty
out.
Much it. Yeah. I think I just need to, you know what I think? I think I need to stream some of this stuff. That'll keep me awake. I come into this room, it's like, I've got, I don't know how many lights on in here. Like, it's so bright. It beams out the window like a spaceship.
Everybody in the neighborhood knows.
Pretty much. Yeah. We stream so early, it's still pitch black in the morning. And this beam of light out of my basement window, just like, what's going on in here?
The Sean signal in the sky.
Exactly. Yeah. Cool, man. You playing anything else?
I mean, Splatoon 3, know, obviously I wrapped up the single player campaign, really enjoyed it.
Yes.
That was fun. There's this post campaign mission that you have to do, like, or I guess you don't have to do it, but, there's this like post campaign mission that is so hard. Like, oh my gosh, I don't know. It's so frustrating. I've attempted it a few times now. I still haven't beat it. Mm-hmm. And like, it is just so hard. Like, the entire thing, even like the world record speed run of it is like 10 minutes. It's long. There's like hardly any checkpoints. It's the worst.
Wow. But, I got
really liking it though.
I already have that game. Here I'm talking like Harvestella and Monkey Island and all these other things, and it's impossible. I feel it.
Yeah.
And just a heads up, some people have been with me, you know, at this time of year in the past. I am manic during this time. I try not to let it get to me that I'm not able to get to all the games. It's just a reality of life. I think no matter who you are, regardless of like if you're a parent or whatever, there's just more games that anybody has time for. Mm-hmm. So heads up, everybody, we're rounding the corner into the final quarter of the year, and I'm going to be a mess. Game of the year conversations are going to come up, and everybody's like, here are the top 27 games that I played this year. I'm like, I played 13. Like, that's right. Just that. It's kind of where I'm at.
It's rough.
So it's rough. It's tough. Dude. So complaining incoming. Cool, man. Well, Splatoon 3 continues, by the way, every Saturday here at youtube.com/carpoolgaming. And one of the best ways that you guys can join in with us is joining the Discord. The links are in the show notes and everybody's welcome. This might surprise people. You guys can just jump on in. The my friend code is in the description for better or worse. That might come back to bite me at one point, but so far, so good. It's not too bad. And we play together. We fill up a room and it's been a great time. And one of the big surprising things for me, Seth, has just been watching other people play. So you can fill up a room with 10 people. Obviously it's 4-on-4, so 8 people play. And one of my favorite things to do is just, especially streaming it, is let other 2 teams play. And then I watch top down and just watch all commentate. The paint splatter and then talk about it. Yeah. I think it's been super, super fun. And that's been something that's been nice to count on Saturdays. It's a nice celebration of the community. We all hang out. Everybody can count on it. And, we'll probably continue to do that for a little while until. Maybe GoldenEye's only 4 players though, so I'll probably have to do something else there.
Yeah. Well, we got that Splatfest coming up next weekend too. So
yes, we do.
That'll be fun.
Do you want to jump? We played Fall Guys for a little bit as well after the stream, and that was a blast. Fall Guys continues to just impress. I bought the season pass, and I blame Lockleth for that. By the way, she's totally a pusher.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And Velfaris, I've talked about this game before. It's just this action, over the top, heavy metal, like demon slaying kind of game. You're upgrading your weapons and it's just awesome. It feels so great to play. It's absolutely old school. It fills my nostalgia bucket big time. So shout out to Josh Stapleton again for pointing out that game. It was on sale, came as a 2-pack, and I think it is amazing. Lockleth in the chat, you're welcome. Yeah, yep. I'm not actually mad. I'm not even mad. So I think that's it. You were mentioning Xenoblade before. Quagmire in the chat says, since Seth is back, I want to see how Xenoblade 3 is progressing. I think 2 is still my favorite, but 2 wasn't my favorite until after I played Torna. So I'm reserving final judgment until 3's DLC story scenario comes out next year. Quagmire is just ahead of the game, man. Just crushed through this game. So how's it going for you, dude?
So I'm on chapter 6. I believe there are 7 chapters in the game. So I'm getting towards the end. I am almost 80 hours in. And man, like the game's incredible. I mean, we've talked about it a bunch. The game is incredible, but like the story has become so gripping that in the early goings on in the game, I was kind of just doing like side content as much as I could. And then like when I ran out, then I would do story.
Yeah.
Now it's the opposite. Now I'm like, the story is so gripping. I just want to see how it ends. And I'm kind of mainlining story. And also I need to get this thing done because it's about to get insane in terms of video games. But the story is just that good. Like, especially the end of chapter 5, man, was like, no spoilers, but holy moly, that like wrecked me. Like I was weeping. I'm not joking. Weeping on my couch. I had to, after the second I got control of the game again, I had to save, turn it off and go walk my dog. Like I was just a mess. I was a mess. So yeah, it's a great game. It's really
I usually kind of poke fun at people when they sign up for a game to make that to break their heart. Like, I can't wait to play the next Life is Strange game so I can weep on my couch. Like, really? Like, that's what we're going for. But at the same time, that's exactly what I'm doing with this game. I know that it's going to take a turn. And even I'm trying to pay attention to the early details. I'm way earlier than you are. I'm definitely not 80 hours into this thing, but I know something crazy is going to happen. Game Nasty in the chat says the chapters are beefy, and Tammy, their partner, was crying. Like, it's just, these games are special in that way. And there's actually, it's incredible because there are so many RPGs right now, especially. It makes me wonder, how are they pumping all these out? These games are massive and they have incredible systems, and they're like, there's so much to them. It makes me wonder what factory is just like pumping these things out, but it's not a factory. These things are done with love and attention, and there's detail in there. And like, they, I don't know if they get that kind of respect the same as, I don't know, maybe something like The Last of Us or anything like that. Not that Xenoblade is The Last of Us, but they seem completely separate when we think about the production of these games.
Right.
Yeah. And that hits me every once in a while. Yeah. These games are big. I'm way behind, but that's top of the playlist. I kind of rotate it in and out and mostly just kind of grinding away at this point. I just like that. Yeah. Like Xenoblade for me right now is, I don't want to play anything new. I'm just going to go like run around. I want to play a game. I'm just going to do some battles. So at some point when I get back onto the story, I'm going to be like ready. I'm going to be super leveled up because I'm just, yeah. Cheesy in the chat. What's so going on, man? Good morning to you, good sir. All right. Cheesy. Well, let's slam the brakes on this conversation. It's time for some breaking news. There's not a whole lot, but just a reminder. You mentioned that there's Splatfest. Splatfest is coming this weekend, starting on Friday, September 3rd to Sunday, September 25th. And it's asking the question, apparently, according to Nintendo, one of the toughest questions. What would you bring to a deserted island? Tools, food, or something to pass the time? I guess the other way to say it is gears, fun, or what's the third one? What am I missing here?
Fun. Yeah. Gear, grub, and fun.
Grub, of course. Yeah. Grub. Yeah. A lot of people going on with grub. With all the Lee culture talk, I ain't going grub. But what are you going with? What team are we jumping on with, Seth? Are you going
Team
grub?
Gear.
Going
team
gear?
Team gear.
Yep.
Yeah. Team Gear, $2 Giro, which is my
that's really good.
Name in the we have a lot of people in the All In Discord who are changing their name to some sort of facsimile of gear or whatever. So mine's $2 Giro.
Oh, I don't know.
Team Gear, man.
I don't know how to do that.
I don't know how you would do it either.
I have such a little name.
Awkwardly put it in there, you know, Sean Kagirpri or something. Just
Sean Kagiro.
Oh, Sean Kagiro. We're both Italian. It's all right.
Exactly.
It's
okay for us.
It's okay. We can pull that off.
We have heritage. Yeah,
don't at us. We can
exactly,
do this.
Exactly.
Team Gear for me, dude, because I look at it and I'm like, you know, this is something I don't often get to talk about, but I actually love hunting. I have, hunting and fishing and things like that. So the way I look at it, if I've got good gear, I could get grub on the island and have fun doing it. You know what I mean? So I'm team gear.
Yeah. I mean, you're out for survival on this. If you're just like bringing like that is actually a tough question. If you really like round this out, you just bring fun. Like, how will you live? You're just like sitting there playing like. Well, some of us just want to live out our last days with Tetris. Okay. All right. Seth?
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, that's not a bad game to bring if you're going to bring one. Might as well be Tetris.
Can you spearfish? Like, what kind of like level of hunting are you talking? Like, you're on an island. Like, there's no. I feel like your only source of food is going to be in the water.
Yeah.
I don't imagine.
Fish.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I love fish. So I mean, if I just had like a good old fishing pole, I could take care of that. You know,
nice.
I love fishing.
I will rely on. Okay, so what if it's a deserted island where we go as podcast like friends?
There you go.
Can we like go?
Well,
together?
Then we can bring our podcast gear too. That'd be one heck of a podcast.
That's pretty fun
if we can figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the Splatfest is coming up this weekend. I will definitely be jumping in Saturday at the very least. And just like last time when I jumped in on a Team Rock. Before in the morning, Team Rock was losing, jumped in the afternoon. We turned things around. So basically just place your bets, everybody. Actually, I think Team Grub is going to do pretty well. I think people are going to eat this up. Yeah. we'll see.
Eat this up. I like that.
Let us know in the comments below what team you guys are joining. And we're all in the Discord. We're going to be playing this all weekend, and I'm really looking forward to it. But moving on, the only other story that we have to talk about, this is like as scraping the bottom of the barrel, but I'm excited about it because there's a Tanuki suit. New custom icons featuring classic Nintendo game consoles, accessories, and games are now available for Nintendo Switch Online members. And I seem to just have points for this. I'm not even like really seeking out the missions to do them. I guess I'm just doing them by accident. And these things are 5 or 10 coins each, and I have hundreds and hundreds of coins. Mm-hmm. So I do wish, before I even get into like what's here, I wish there was just buy all of them. Whatever's on the screen, just get all of it. Cause the time it takes to like bring up one, redeem the coins, and then it kind of thinks about it for a second. Like, what is happening?
It's like
here?
Laggy. Yeah. It's like weirdly laggy.
Mm-hmm. So I currently have Dubious Food as my icon, thanks to this this thing. Everybody should be paying attention to this because these icons are awesome, and I love this very, very much.
I do too.
But I'm surprised I'm not seeing anybody else with Dubious Food. Do we not have like the same relationship with Dubious Food from Breath of the Wild as I do? I think it's hilarious. My kids think it's the greatest thing on the planet. I thought when I chose this icon as mine, like I thought everybody was going to have it, but maybe there's just enough variety elsewhere. That's just it.
That's what it is for me. I just find some variation of King Dedede and I'm all set.
There it is.
I'm good with that.
the icons are, yeah, I mean, there's a Tanuki suit, all forms of the Tanuki suit, like just like the ears and the tail. Then there's the full Tanuki suit. And then there's the statue. There's that there. NES console is there. And then a bunch of stuff from Punch-Out. Referee Mario. So this is why I'm just like, I don't know which one I'm going to select. I actually kind of wish that there was more function for these rather than just your profile picture, because kind of don't want to always change it. But I do want to collect these things and display them in a way. If only there was like a universe for your Miis that you could, you know, post things.
It's like we've never Miiverse. Had anything like that.
You could call it a Miiverse if you wanted to.
I've been thinking about Miiverse so much. I really do miss Miiverse. Yeah. I really do. Dude, there's a guy in our community, a friend of mine, Matt, who met his wife in Miiverse.
Get out
that's
of here.
That's how his wife and I met. Yeah, that's how they met. And I'm like, that is like, Miiverse is so cool. And I miss it dearly. I wish they'd bring it back.
Can you tell, like, can you introduce, because I would love to hear that story on We the Gamercast. It's another podcast I do, for those who don't know, where I talk to strangers on the internet. We just get like their life story. Like, that would be awesome. You met on the, I've heard people meeting on WoW, and that's amazing as well. But there's not even like, there's not even like voice chat. Like, there's,
his wife is an artist. His wife is an artist, and she would draw stuff on Miiverse, and that's how they met, dude. It's crazy.
That is incredible. I love that freaking story. Oh my gosh. Antics in the chat says Street Pass, Miiverse. I love the Switch, but I miss all the fun stuff Nintendo used to do. Mm-hmm. Do my kids play on their 2DSs, and every once in a while, Lincoln will fire up, Street Pass, and it's just like, it's weird that has nostalgia. Like you start, and remember you could choose like the song. It's like this marching, like doot, 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 doot. And as soon as he fired that, I'm like, oh, I love Street Pass. I totally agree. Fulia says, I never understood the Street Pass. Depends on where you live. It definitely depends on like how many passerbyers you might have. Or if you take like public transit, that was very helpful for me. I always took the bus to work. So apparently I was around enough kids, I guess, that it would. Or maybe adults who also have 2DS, 3DS around, but I always assumed not so much.
Even just like the personality with little things, like when you would buy games on the 3DS and it would be like little baubles going into a present box, you know?
Yes. Oh, like, so good.
I miss stuff like that.
I know. Yeah. Just the simple little things in life. And I don't know, maybe there just wasn't. I don't know. It wasn't money in it. They obviously had to like develop it and support it in some way. And it was a different time. You know, 3DS was really the thing that we were spending money on in Nintendo Land back then. Sticking kind of still in the news, and people had some questions for us, and one of the best ways you guys can ask or answer questions is in the Discord. Actually, lately I haven't, like, we've been getting enough questions just from our friends in the Discord. I'm not even posting on Twitter these days, so get on into the Discord. The links are in the show notes. Nagachaka's in the chat, or in the Discord, and he asks, what was the best thing from last week's Nintendo Direct, and why is it Tales of Symphonia Remastered coming in 2023, Seth?
Was good. That was a good one. I am excited about that. Yeah, for me, I mean, we talked about it a little bit last week, but for me it was Theater Rhythm.
Oh, yes.
That was the big one for me.
It's funny, I listen to a lot of different podcasts, and it's even like non-Nintendo podcasts were commenting on the Nintendo Direct, which I always find a little like, weird, isn't it? Especially when it's not like positive, like they go out of their way to go like, I'm just going to stop talking about this platform. Let me step into Nintendo land and just let you know I didn't like the Nintendo Direct. Like, just stay in your lane, just, you know?
Yeah, stay in your lane, my
friend. And the reason I bring it up is because people would point out that game to say, like, and they got, like, this game, and it's not, like, who wants to play that? But meanwhile, I'm listening to actual Nintendo podcasts, and there's a lot of people excited about this game, man. Like, this is just a whole bucket of nostalgia on this one.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love that series. That was definitely the, like, if I were to pinpoint one announcement of the Direct, it was that for me, for sure.
Man, there's so much. 007. Yeah. I feel like I'm just going to lead the charge. I'm going to pick up my flag. I'm just, everybody come with me. We can be excited about GoldenEye, you guys. I'm just saying, I am allowing it. I'm excited about GoldenEye. I don't care what anybody has to say about it. All right. That's what I'm playing.
That's it.
Play the campaign, dude. I'm curious to see how that online is going to work. Dude, it was a huge Direct. At some point, I'm going to have to come around on Bayonetta, but people can be excited about that.
I'm very excited for Bayonetta. That's up there for me, too. I love that game.
There's 40 games, man. Holy cow. Thanks for the question, Nagachaka. On the other end, Wacko Jacko says, does it concern us that Nintendo are really dropping the ball when it comes to these latest games? Hang on a second. No, I had another question. I'm sorry. Nope. Sorry, Wacko Jacko. I'll come to you in a second. Trucker Sloth was the other side of this coin. Says, what wasn't in the show, but you wish would have been? I was hoping for a new Donkey Kong or 2D Mario, even. Was something missing for you, Seth? Were you kind of like waiting on, I feel like some people were. I mean, there was leaks for sure. We talked about that.
Sure.
We thought we were getting remastered Zelda.
Yeah. I mean, I do want Donkey Kong. I do want a new Donkey Kong. And I think that, like, not only do I want it, but I think it makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's been so long. Tropical Freeze came out in, what, 2014 or something like that?
Wow. Yeah.
Isn't that right? 2014, 2015? And so, I mean, it's been a long, long time. And then, like, you know, we've got the Donkey Kong Super Nintendo Land expansion coming. He's going to be in the animated movie. I think maybe this is a fever dream, but I think he's getting a spinoff movie.
Yeah.
Isn't that a thing?
Yep.
So, I mean, to me, I'm like, you don't have all of that stuff and not have a game on the shelf.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's kind of how you don't, like, you know, kind of go all in.
Nice.
I know. I know. I couldn't think of another word for it. I try to actively avoid that so I don't owe myself money. But you don't go all in on Donkey Kong unless you have, like, you know, something like that to reintroduce the audience to that character, his world, and things like that. Because I do feel like at a certain point, they're going to open up the Donkey Kong land or whatever, and there are going to be a lot of people who are like, well, who's Donkey Kong?
Yeah.
He hasn't had a game in 10 years.
I actually want Donkey Kong land. That's actually the game that I want. I want, man, I mean, I might even jump onto that. Game Boy games into Switch Online. Like, that would just be incredible. And Donkey Kong land is one of my favorites. I absolutely adore that game. To round out my predictions, by the way, for this year, just as a reminder, at the start of this year on the Nintendo Drive, Kato and I listed six. And I am firing on all cylinders here, Seth.
Oh, snap.
My first prediction was Breath of the Wild will get a 2023 date. We've got a specific date in 2023. Nailed it. I said it in January. The next Direct will be in February. Nailed it. I said that Persona 4 Golden will come out. Nailed it. What else did I say? New Mario Strikers game was coming. Nailed it. So the things that are missing is Arms 2. Would have loved to see that. And Dr. Mario, why do we not have a Dr. Mario game on Switch? It's getting to the point where people are going to forget that Dr. Mario is one of the greatest games of all time, and we need it back here. I mean, I guess it's in Switch Online. You can go back and play, but I want Dr. Luigi. He was never meant to be a doctor. He's not the multitask and, you know, do whatever job is out there like Mario is. Mario's a plumber and a doctor and a detective or whatever else. Like, he does everything.
Yeah.
I want a Dr. Mario game, Seth.
I do too. That'd be great. They had that mobile one.
Yes.
What is it? Is it Dr. Mario World or whatever? Mm-hmm. Where everybody's a doctor, like Dr. Goomba Stack and whatnot.
It was upside down too. Dumb. That threw me a little bit. I don't know why they needed to do it upside down. There's a couple of people out there. Shout out to Jace who love that game. But it wasn't enough. They actually pulled the pin on that. And we don't really see a whole lot in the mobile space. Mario Kart Tour, I think, is doing fairly decently.
And I think Mario Kart Tour, Fire Emblem Heroes.
Fire Emblem for sure.
Yeah. Pocket Camp, I think, is still kind of kicking around. But yeah, I would. Yeah. And you look at something like that and you're like, wouldn't that be easy? That seems like that'd be fairly easy to put out on the Switch for like $20-$30 or something, man. You know?
I'll buy two. Please give it to me.
Yeah.
Nice, man. Well, those are all the news stories wrapping up our show from last week. But we'll jump on into the carpool. You guys can come on in. Again, best way to do this, jump in the Discord. Follow us on Twitter at Carpool Gaming. Brian Eck with the very first question in this section, I guess. Brian says, question for the Nintendo Drive podcast. With many first-party Nintendo games now getting sequels this generation, is it time for the Switch to get its own Nintendo Selects line? This is it's got the little tag on the front. You get everything at like, whatever, $25, like a reduced price. Right. Is it time, Seth, for us to get this line? Does this mean anything to you, this Nintendo Selects line? Is it a big deal? It always happens. We can count on it probably happening at some point. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, at some point we probably will, I would imagine. But I think, too, like, it's really just going to depend on the sales. I think they move to a Nintendo Selects line when the sales start to slow. Right. I just don't think that's really happened yet.
Good point.
Honestly, I mean, like, even the first, even Breath of the Wild, you know, which is a launch title, is still consistently selling.
Mm-hmm. I think it might go back to Brian's question here or his point that, like, now these games are getting sequels. Is that kind of, I never really thought of it that way. That might be the precursor, because the sequel kind of draws everybody's attention to the new hotness. And so it's just the Selects is just a way to get that back on the shelves, like in a prominent space, that you can count on it being a standardized price, I guess. Like, I've never like sought out the Nintendo Selects line, because I'm just a dumb idiot. We buy these games day one.
I buy it day one.
So you never get around there. But obviously they play a pretty important role with this. I want to give, again, Drew Agnew a shout out. They did a thing on the House of Mario where they're ranking every year of the Switch so far. And I wonder if like there's a twist on that, that they can go like class of 2017. These are the games from 2017 that came out, and Splatoon being one of them, which I don't think necessarily works, but yeah, Mario Odyssey, Breath of the Wild.
Well, you mentioned Arms. I think Arms would be a great one, because like Arms is a genuinely really good game.
It really is.
And like, if they put that on Nintendo Selects, $20-$30 or whatever it is, like, that would be so beneficial, I feel like, to that game. That would really, pardon the pun, give that game a shot in the arm a little bit, and kind of, you know, man, I'm all about the puns today.
You can't even help it. You're just like tripping on puns over here.
I'm just doing it. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But that'd be great. Like, it'd be great to just kind of like give that game a new, you know, a second chance or whatever.
Yeah.
To for people to jump in and see how special that game is.
Mm-hmm. Are there any, like, again, we bought everything, I think, the theme song, cheesy in the chat, definitely. I have belted that thing out numerous times. That's
it's the best.
And I remember making fun, I think the first time I was singing, I was probably making fun of it, because it's just like, whoa, like, it's so ridiculous. And like, it seems to, I think, at the, it was a little off-putting to me that every character seemed like it was made to create a toy. Like, you know, when it's just like when art is created, but with the merchandise in mind. And that right. seemed to be the case, at least for me, like spring.
And then they just didn't do it.
And yeah, and like we got a couple amiibo, but like you're going to get amiibo. That's not necessarily what I'm talking about. But yeah, like
just for the Smash, though, just for Min Min or whatever. Yep. They didn't do an arms an amiibo arms line, which was funny.
Oh, yeah. That would be. Well, there you go. That would
they
be great.
Have done that.
Nintendo Select line of amiibo, even. That'd be interesting.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be nice, especially now that, you know, modern amiibo are getting so expensive, man. I got these Monster Hunter amiibo.
They're so good. I can't even pretend to be into that, but they're so great. Yeah.
This thing, this Malzano, is like a $30, $40 amiibo or something, man. It's like ridiculous. They're awesome, but
respect for keeping it in the case, my friend.
I just full disclosure, I just haven't opened these yet and put them in their case behind me. So that's why they were just on my desk. I just haven't, but I do. I set them free. I don't keep them in the box.
I feel like you even would like break it open like a pinata, just like slam it out there, just get a baseball bat and just beat the life out of it.
Bad boy.
Exactly. Yeah. Take it out to a field. You light it on fire and the plastic is remaining. Like, you don't have to do that. Yeah. You can just tone it down
a
little bit.
Just open it.
Yeah, Brian, I think a Selects line would be great. Maybe the reason they haven't is I'm somewhat struggling in the moment to think of like what they would need to put there. Mario plus Rabbids is getting a sequel, but I feel like that one's maybe a little bit out of Nintendo's hands just with the Ubisoft connection. And I feel like it's been sold for like $10 or something. And the DLC, you know, I definitely have picked up for me buying the DLC. It made more sense to buy it again as that package, if that makes any sense,
right.
Instead of like the single game. That one is top of mind.
It's like, what are they going to do? Put Mario Kart on sale? Like, that game is still top of the charts. You know, they're not going to do that.
Odyssey, I guess, like.
It'd be great to see that. Yeah. It'd be great to see Odyssey and, you know, and put them on a little bit more of a discount and whatever. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish one thing that always annoyed me. And I think another reason that I never gravitated towards the Nintendo Selects is I never liked the like packaging, like.
Yes.
Why does it have to look different?
Right.
Like, why does it have to look, you know, that always bugs me to have it on my shelf and it looks different than everything else. I don't like that.
I mean, it's the trade-off of you get it cheap, but everybody's going to know it. You know,
right.
You didn't buy the original run of this and
make me feel like I bought the original $60, you know.
It's like a third party controller. Like, it could look nearly identical, but it's going to have some marks on it that it's. You know, it's not the real deal.
Yeah. Oh, you'll see that Mad Catz logo.
Exactly. Prominently in fluorescent. Anyway, thank you, Brian, for the question. Wacko Jacko, sorry, it's taken me a bit to get back to your question. Wacko Jacko says, does it concern us that Nintendo are really dropping the ball when it comes to these latest games? Splatoon 3 having so many gosh dang communication errors, for example, and the advice they officially give to is to port forward your router. Also, I feel sorry for those who were so eager and excited for Strikers that Nintendo just didn't give that game enough support from day one. Is there anything as fans we can do to make Nintendo wake up, or is it too much that we are consistently buying their new games and they just don't care? Wacko Jacko is feeling what I've been feeling, man. You're in love. Are you loved? I guess is the question. As Andross has put. I'm a split personality on this. Some weeks you're going to get salty, Sean. And right now, I don't know, maybe it's just because I get to podcast with Seth this week. I'm in a great mood. I have experienced some of those communication errors and I'm not trying to like wave this off because like obviously I've been there very frustrated. I guess kind of compartmentalizing the Strikers thing. Like that's like in a box. I've buried it. I have to move on because that one hurts a lot. That's a very that game series on, especially on the Wii, was like the best times. And when they announced it, that was the one that got me out of my chair and I was screaming and acting a fool. And I agree. It's hard to say, but I'm having a lot of fun with Splatoon in spite of all of my own criticisms of it, that it's not like revolutionary. It is. I'm doing turf war, for goodness sakes. I'm not playing anything else. I'm not really looking for anything else, I guess. And yeah, I'm part of the problem. I think we all are, Seth.
Yeah, that's, I think that's fair. I also think that it really depends on how you parse that stuff, because I've been getting a lot of the connectivity issues of Splatoon as well.
Yeah,
like a lot, like really bad. My wife and I both, and it seems to be totally like random, because I had a community member who's like, yeah, look, I've had like next to no connection issues, but then my wife, same connection type, same everything, is having them left and right to the point where she regrets buying the game. So,
oh, wow.
Like, I get it. It can be frustrating for me. Like, I enjoyed the single player a lot. When it works, I think it works really well. Whenever I play with friends, I have no issues. It seems to be that weird peer-to-peer connection they have going on. I don't know what the issue is with that. And then, yeah, like Mario Strikers is another one where, like, I didn't like that game either. Yeah. Right. Like, I didn't like it either. It wasn't for me, but I know a lot of people who still really love that game.
Yeah.
And, you know, and for them, it was like totally this hyper competitive thing. You know, it didn't land for me, but I moved on.
Yeah.
I also think that, like, for all of these kind of misses that Nintendo has had, there have also been a lot of hits, and I feel like we don't celebrate them enough.
I am reminded of that constantly when I go on my rants. Yeah. It's like, but have you considered this? I'm like, yeah. So that has balanced me out off the show, and then I come back and,
right,
you know, I don't know if people like realize this about us, Seth, but like outside of the podcast, we continue to have conversations and meals and little lives and, you know, that kind of thing. So we can come back maybe a little bit altered, but that's a little tough to wrap your head around. Yeah.
I think about that, though, where I'm like, we get really hung up on when something negative happens, but if something positive happens, yeah, it's like, oh, Pokemon Legends Arceus was cool. Oh, Kirby and the Forgotten Land was cool. Oh, Fire Emblem Three Hopes is cool. But let's move on.
Well done. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So. And especially, and I'm one of the first to say, why aren't we looking at this in the context of even other platforms for somebody like me who has all of them? I would love it if Xbox had a year like this. You know, it's disappointing. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I'd never want any game to miss. That's really at the heart of it. I don't want, like, yeah, the good balances out the bad, but you never really want any bad. And I guess that's just an entitled gamer kind of thing. Like, I want every game to be great. And it's coming from a good place, but sometimes comes out a little bit nasty. Cheesy C in the chat says the online isn't great, but it's also cheap. Not forgiving them, but you also get what you pay for. The game is not cheap, though. The game is a full price game, and the online, I guess, just gives you access to paying for Nintendo Switch Online is what Cheesy is referring to here. And so I struggle with that rationale a little bit. I also struggle with I didn't realize this was a solution Nintendo was saying, that port forward your router. Like, how many people hands up? Like, who even knows what that is? Like, unless you dived into your own settings, like, that's, and this is Nintendo. Nintendo, we're going to simplify everything. Like, this is family friendly. Like, yeah, go into your advanced router settings and port. Give me what? Yeah.
It's not uncommon for it isn't uncommon for people to do that. I think Sony did a similar thing. But the difference is that Sony came in and gave very specific, you know, port forwarding things, and these are the ports you need to forward or whatever. Nintendo was like, yeah, port forward, like, ports 1 through 4,000 or something like that.
Oh my gosh. You know?
And it's like crazy, because that, you know, that means that you're going to open yourself up to a lot of potential, you know, securities.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Rybo's in the chat raising his hand. He's like, I know what port forwarding is. So he's good. And it's so individual. Like, I haven't had a huge amount of communication error. And if I had, you guys would definitely hear it. Like, I get very, very frustrated with that. It happens. But again, when you balance things out too, when we look at games like Destiny or any MMO or any game that has like a bunch of people playing all at once, like, it doesn't work. Like, it legit just like crashes. Yeah. So yeah, it can be frustrating to be kicked out of a game, but for the most part, I think Splatoon is working, and we've seen, we haven't really actually reported on this, but Japan, out of Japan, we were hearing that it sold 3.45 million copies in the first weekend, outselling Animal Crossing and everything else like in the same time period. So the game is doing quite well. Tons of people are playing it. So this, it's just context. It's not making excuses. It's not like letting them off the hook for anything, but it's like, well, let's consider that. That's kind of like a Bill Nye thing.
Consider that. You know, and I don't want to, you know, discredit anybody's feelings or whatever.
Totally, very frustrating.
And I think we've all been there, and we've all been frustrated and stuff like that. But I do think that, like, you know, I think it is dependent on the way you parse this stuff mm-hmm. mentally. And, you know, it, like I said, I was frustrated with Mario Strikers too, but, you know, that's okay. Like, I just kind of moved on from it. And meanwhile, you know, nobody's talking about anymore how good Kirby and the Forgotten Land, for me, still one of the best games of the year. And, like, everybody kind of just moved on from that, but we're still stuck on Mario Strikers because it was such a negative experience. Well,
since
for
you
us,
brought it up, you know? Seth, the thing that gets me, and then we'll move on, is Nintendo is so dead set on having the games be full price forever. Like that game is, and so what happens is you, unless there's a Nintendo Selects line, you just buy the games day one because they're never going to go down in price. Now, I guess I probably could wait for like reviews and that kind of thing to balance things out. But we go out and rush out to buy these games because we feel that they're never going down in price. And then they kind of do that thing. So that's a game that should be like that could come down. I don't think that it ever will.
Well, it was the best selling Mario sports title. I think still is the best, like the fastest selling and best selling Mario sports title just ever.
Soccer,
and,
man.
And so yeah, that's already crazy. But for me, it's also like vote with your wallet. Like for me, right
now it's that I've kind late. Of been burned we already, by, we bought the game. Yes. It's too late. We can't vote for our wallet. And then we go into Splatoon.
What I mean though, of course, what I mean though is like next time they're going to roll out another Mario sports game next year, I'm not going to buy it day one. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, because I've kind of come to this place where I'm like, okay, Mario Golf wasn't really what I wanted. Mario Strikers wasn't really what I wanted. Yep. So Switch next sports. Time, yeah, not really there for me. So next time I'm going to cool it. Yep. And I'm just going to wait and see, you know.
Yeah, three or four. So, Nintendo, you get 4 or 7 chances. And after that,
me four times.
We are through. Now I draw the line. And absolutely. TPR with the last question before I get to something kind of important. TPR, otherwise known as Trevor in our Discord.
Trevor.
Has a very important question. In honor of Seth, I ask you both what Nintendo character has the best facial hair. Could be a mustache, beard, whatever. I got to go with King Rome from Breath of the Wild. Picture below for context. Little Mermaid, King of the Little Mermaid esque, actually, for people who can't really see it or don't know King the character. Trident. Yes, very much so. That actually, like, that could be you, Seth. That actually, this could
maybe.
Be. This, is,
give,
this could
give
be
me
in
a
the future.
Few years. Mm-hmm. I'm already growing the grays, so give me a few years.
Just throw like baby powder or flour in it. Just like antique yourself for Halloween or something.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We did a couple of weeks ago. It was like World Beard Day or whatever. And so we did a top five on All In about this.
Did you really?
The top five beards. Yeah. In Nintendo history and the King of Hyrule, King Rome, whatever throughout time and space, that was our number one.
Yeah.
That was the number one. And so I have to agree there. If I were to shout out some others, there's some really good, Pokemon with beards, weirdly.
Yeah.
Galarian Meowth has a great beard.
I never would have thought of Pokemon.
Gigantamax Kingler
has got
a majestic beard.
Yeah.
If you look up Gigantamax Kingler, holy moly. You know, Dr. Wily has a good beard.
Yeah.
From Mega Man.
That's a good call. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of good ones.
I mean, not necessarily Nintendo going over to Sega, but I mean... Dr. Eggman.
Oh, yeah, Eggman.
Yeah, Robotnik. Yeah.
Well, that's a funny thing, too, though, is that there's more Sonic games on Nintendo platforms than Sega platforms at this point.
That's wow.
It's weird for us because we're, like, you know, old. But
I know. That was never supposed to happen. It wasn't supposed to be this way. The Dreamcast. What did you guys do? Man, holy cow. Great question. And definitely, I wish I could grow out a beard. I also wish I had like the know-how to maintain, even especially in like the early days. It's not happening. It gets embarrassing and everybody comments on it and you're like, okay, well I'll just go back to this. Just go back to my face.
Is that what it is? The people commenting on it and
big
whatnot?
Time.
You don't like that?
Yeah, don't like
it. I gotcha.
Yeah. Everybody, you know, and it gets into a whole, I feel like we're learning new rules of how to just speak to one another. And that we haven't gotten to that one yet. Like it's very uncomfortable.
Right.
Like to like, oh, that beard is, I'm like, all right, I'll get rid of it. Sean the baby face Capri. Yes, Argo. I'm going for it.
Sean the baby face. Handsome
getting
man.
Getting my sleep these days. It's kind of, sometimes, unless I'm sleeping 3 hours on Sunday. Thank you guys so much for the questions. That brings us to the end. But Seth, I need to address I need to address the audience. I need to talk to people about something. Mm-hmm. I had a question. Actually, a few of you have reached out a little bit concerned, and I want to put the concern to rest here that some people have noticed that Cato hasn't been able to make it on the show over the last couple of weeks. And Cato's great, and we're great, and we continue to chat, and she's just continuing to crush it. But life and work and her just gigantic YouTube channel. She has one of the best YouTube channels on the planet. Life is kind of just taking over at the moment. And Cato has let me know, sadly, that she'll be stepping away from Carpool Gaming and the Nintendo Drive. And I actually can't even believe that I have said those words. Like, I've known this for about a week now and just kind of figuring out what exactly to do about this. Cato came to us when Ryan and I were launching the new phase of Yumi Capri after Bobby Pauls had passed away. And I wasn't really sure what Nintendo content was going to look like in my future and with the group. And the community surrounded us with a lot of support and love and said, in addition to the Xbox Drive, which we had already been doing for a couple of years at that point, we would love it if you had a Nintendo version of that. So we launched the Nintendo Drive thanks to, again, that Patreon support. And Cato was the one, even before the notion of, or even before the goal was reached, I said to myself, if we were going to do a Nintendo Drive show, Cato was the one. And I remember a moment when she was in the chat and I'm like, you're doing the Nintendo show with me. And she's like, I guess I am. And so she's always been on board for it. And we'll talk about it more this week. I should get to something before I continue on. Cato's final show will be next week. We're gonna stream it at the usual time. You guys will hear it on the podcast feeds and everything. I felt like it was just super important for her to get the love and kindness and showering of messages from you guys and the send off that she really deserves, because this show doesn't exist without her. This YouTube channel doesn't look the way that it does without her. We don't have the awesome merch that I'm wearing right now without her. The way this show exists, I owe Cato a huge debt of gratitude, among other things that I will just never be able to repay. So I am sad to announce that Cato will be leaving, but next week, please join us youtube.com/carpoolgaming to give her the send off that she really deserves. And, we will announce, I think at that time, the new co-host or co-hosts of the Nintendo Drive. I'm excited about the future of the show, but I want to kind of separate that part. I want to make sure Cato gets her send off and we honor her in that way. So yeah, Dano in the chat says, I can only imagine how busy it is for her. I'm with you. Obviously we wish Cato all the best and there's no hard feelings. We're still besties. I'm going to really miss talking to her at this time on a regular basis. So thanks to everybody for sending in messages of concern and wonder and everything. I just wanted to put that to rest, Seth, and thanks for just letting me kind of talk to our friends here a little bit. So, and thanks for helping us out over the last little while as we kind of get through this time, figure things out.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, all the love to her, just, you know, love and respect and all the grace in the world to her, man. I mean, she's a legend.
She's a legend. You know? Yeah.
She's a legend.
She shows us how it's done. The work ethic, just the quiet, like just dedication. I haven't seen anything quite like it. Like I try to work hard, but I'm whining and complaining the entire time. She's just like, she gets her head down and she does the thing and she's a natural at it, man. Right from day one, she's just been so, so good at it. I've loved having her as part of the show and yeah, we'll do a wonderful send off for her next week. So, any final thoughts, Seth, before we close things out? I probably should get to work here, man.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think we covered it, man. She's, yeah.
Very
cool.
Love you, Cato. All right. That is all for episode 73 of the Nintendo Drive. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you guys next weekend. In the meantime, usually Cato says something kind of clever here, but just leave your messages in the Discord, leave your messages in the comments below. We'll see you guys next week for a very special final episode with the console Cato, the sauciest potato. I almost called her tomato. Bye-bye, everybody. The Nintendo Drive is fueled by patrons at patreon.com/carpoolgaming. And I want to thank the nearly 90 patrons from the bottom of my heart for supporting us each and every month. especially our ultimate producers, Robbie Bobby Miller, Tony Baker from Quest for Pixels. You can subscribe to them at youtube.com/Quest4Pixels. Dallas Ford, the co-host of The Blame Game. You can support those guys on YouTube. The link is in the show notes. Let's get these guys to 100 subs. Emily O'Kelly, Trucker Sloth, Jonathan Brown, and the new EP from PME is called Gems and is available on Spotify and Apple Music. Lee Navarro, the fearless leader of the Phoenix Overdrive Extra Life team, and all the links are in the show notes. Please support these ultimate producers. Platinum producers, Marcus McCracken, RJ Kern, and Skinny Matt, and our gold members, Anna, Cecily Carozza, Dallas Robbins, Drellish, Foolish Fuji, Jose Jimenez, Marcus O'Neill, Naga Chaka, and the Snack Network. If you'd like to support Carpool Gaming, go to patreon.com/carpoolgaming and choose the tier that's right for you.